your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
How are you doing? I am glad to be with you. Thanks for joining me on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. As we get into the holiday weekend this Independence Day, let's have some fun. Find out where you can celebrate with fireworks, drones, shows, parades, and other 4th of July events across Wisconsin. And this is the final weekend of Summerfest, so I will share my music picks plus the song you need to hear. Oh, they're a hometown favorite, Closer to Free, by the beloved Wisconsin band, the Bodines. They are celebrating 40 years and headlining Summerfest on July 4th. So a good reason to play the Bodines. They are one of those bands that puts a smile on your face and stirs up a lot of memories for people who have been fans of them. Oh, every day of all those 40 years, some of us. I didn't get to know the band until I came here to Marquette. So that was in the 90s. So I haven't been in that long. But man, I remember them playing Maritime Days and all those smaller shows. So Bodine's 40th anniversary, July 4th, we will play Closer to Free as the song you need to hear. But first, I want to start with the meaningful Bob Uecker mural signature ceremony that happened on Tuesday afternoon. And this mural, it is finished. It is fabulous. It is a portrait of Bob Uecker at the microphone inside the broadcast booth at American Family Field. And it is 10 stories tall. And who was at this Tuesday celebration? It was a tailgate-themed party, of course, because it's a Brewers. And the Uecker family was there. The mayor was there. There were Brewers players there. And it was right in that Wintrust building parking lot where they have freshly paved it. It was black, and that heat was radiating up, but I didn't mind. And if you're saying, okay, you've told me what the mural looks like, where is it? It is on Jackson and Mason, on the north-facing side of the Wintrust building. So it was a 10-story tall canvas. So a block east of the Pfister Hotel and close to the Cathedral Square. And if you text the word WATCH, W-A-T-C-H, text the word WATCH to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, you can get a link to our WTMJ live YouTube stream. Text WATCH to 855-616-1620, and you can see this finished mural of Bob Uecker. And it was just a wonderful way to pay tribute. So I have some highlights from the ceremony to share with you, including remarks from Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who was there, Brewers star Christian Yelich. But first, starting with the artist, Mauricio Ramirez. And Mauricio is a Midwestern artist. He's got about a dozen murals and public artworks around Milwaukee. He's based in Chicagoland and really has a respect for our city and enjoys creating art here. And you may have heard him on What's on Tap during his two visits here while he was creating the mural, because we've been following this since mid-May when he started painting. And Mauricio is also the artist for the Giannis Antetokounmpo mural. So Mauricio's been busy between spending over a month painting the Bob Uecker 10-story tall mural and then just recently having to repaint the bottom part of the Giannis mural a couple days ago after I got tagged. But I want to share with you these highlights from humble remarks by Mauricio Ramirez at the Bob Uecker mural signing ceremony.
Thank you for showing up. I've painted all over the country for the past 10 to 15 years, and I have to say Milwaukee's my favorite city to paint in. The way you guys appreciate public art and the way you guys have this relationship with sports, site-specific sports, and you know the Brewers, the Bucks, everybody, and the way that we could connect public art with you know, the Brewers, and today, you know, Bob Uecker. And it's just the biggest joy for me to be able to be part of this project. So I just wanted to, you know, give a couple of thank yous to obviously Mark, Randy, and Jack for trusting me, the Uecker family for trusting me, Milwaukee downtown, and, you know, the other stakeholders, Wisconsin Energies, Visit Milwaukee, the Westin, Marriott. But ultimately, you know, this is what I love to do. You know, when I was working on this project, I couldn't wait to start the next day. You know, I would go to bed, you know, like it was Christmas, because I knew the next day would be a full day full of painting and full day of doing what I love to do and just making everyone proud. And ultimately, I think these projects just show how we, you know, care for our communities and the things that actually mean something to us. And for me to be a part of this just makes my heart, you know, full of joy. And being able to share my abilities with the world and inspire the next generation of artists also makes me really proud to do what I do. Thank you. And obviously, I couldn't have done this myself. Matt explained how the process went. You know, it was a collaboration between myself, the Euchre family, and some of the stakeholders within the project. And honestly, I think that's the best way because it's able to kind of share different perspectives on an art project and have a bunch of different set of eyes to just give it the best, you know, presentation in terms of the design. And I had a really good friend, Armand Gonzalez, who helped me blow this image up to 100 feet by 80 feet. He's my graphic designer. I had a local painting company here, LeBrant and Associates, who helped me power wash and prime the wall to ultimately help me set up the wall. And, you know, my good trusty, you know, art assistants, Austin Ronsky, you know, my cousin Alex Vasquez, and just really kind of were the hands behind it. But I just wanted to give them thanks and just letting you guys know it wasn't just me. It takes a village, really. So just thank them, really, if you see them out and stuff. But at the end of the day, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who's been involved. And, you know, it's just an honor to have this relationship with Bob Euchre through this mural and forever, you know, pretty much, you know, until however this long this mural lasts, you know, 20, 30 years, you know, until the next touch up. But that's all I wanted to really say. So
that is the voice of artist Mauricio Ramirez, the man who painted this 10-story tall portrait of Bob Euchre. And on the Signing Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line Fun 414 texted in a photo. It's so cool. Picture that they took. So right there at Jackson and Mason, and you can see it if you text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Text watch to 855-616-1620. And you could see the progress and the finished 10-story mural. We've been covering this story since Mauricio started painting in mid-May. And you can catch up on the podcast, the conversations, because he explains how he went up in the boom lift that high to paint with spray paint and roller brushes. And so if you want to learn more, we do also have the keyword mural for the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Keyword mural, M-U-R-A-L. Text that word to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, and you can see the progress all along. And as we bring you more highlights from the tailgate-themed party to celebrate the completion of the Bob Euchre mural earlier this week, you're going to hear Pat Murphy and Christian Yelich share their thoughts about Bob Euchre from their panel discussion at this event next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
Harry Doyle from Major League, one of the most iconic characters that Bob Euchre will always be known for. And playing that because the Bob Euchre mural that has been painted lovingly and daringly 10 stories high on one of those boom lifts by our artist Mauricio Ramirez, officially complete. Tuesday was the signature signing ceremony, so it is now official. The Mr. Baseball mural has Bob Euchre sitting in one of his happiest spots in the broadcast booth at American Family Field with his signature and a baseball, and it says Mr. Baseball on it, but that baseball actually does look very 3D. It's very interesting to see just how well Mauricio captured Bob Euchre. And so it happened on a Tuesday on a hot summer day downtown for this big ceremony. It's the kind of day, you know, where Bob Euchre would tell that amusing story of putting lettuce leaves under his baseball cap to stay cool when he was a player. That story always tickled me. So it's like, you miss Euchre, but this is a wonderful tribute, 10 stories tall, and it was the official gathering on Tuesday. And I am thrilled to have been part of our WTMJ coverage from the beginning of the painting in May all the way to the signature ceremony and to see this completed, because Euchre is really now part of the skyline. I mean, he's always been a part of the lives of baseball fans. I mean, 54 years with the Brewers making those calls on the radio. We love him here at WTMJ, obviously, but fans of so many aspects of Bob Euchre's life. And right now, I'm pleased to share more from that afternoon gathering. Hundreds of fans were there. Bob Euchre's family was there. People from the organizations who commissioned this artwork, Visit Milwaukee, Milwaukee Downtown Bid 21, the We Energies Foundation, the Westin Milwaukee, and the Wintrust Financial Center, who came up with this brilliant idea in the first place. All those collaborators and a lot of people who were in Bob Euchre's circle were there. And these are highlights from the panel that was moderated by Milwaukee Brewers broadcaster Lane Grindle. And on that panel was Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy, Brewers star, Christian Yelich, and also from Milwaukee Brewers, the president of business operations, Rick Schlesinger, and also Matt Arnold was there. So it was quite a list of folks who know and worked with Bob Uecker. And it was all moderated by Lane Grindle. Here are some of the Brewers broadcaster, Lane Grindle. Here are some of those highlights.
I want to start with Murph, because you spent nearly a decade with Uke, and you had a chance to see him interact with the guys in the clubhouse and how powerful he was within the walls of that clubhouse. What was it about him that you think helped him connect so well with players that were generations younger than him?
You know, I don't think anybody, when they met Uke, they were in awe, of course. But he immediately, he was so authentic. You'd never know he was a Hall of Famer. If you were a bystander watching this interaction, he was truly interested in the players. He really cared about them. He remembered things. It didn't matter if you were at Yelly status, just brought up from AAA. He was at home in that clubhouse, and he knew that was his family year in and year out, that he was part of the group. And I can't tell you the way the guys felt. You know, something interesting, in 2024, we lost to the Mets in the playoffs in a devastating fashion. And after that game, everybody was sad. But the sadness then turned to what we probably knew was Uke's last game. And we sat there till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Just the Mets loss was gone by midnight. But it was all about Uke for the next 4 hours. And it's just a tribute to who he was and what he meant to this group.
And Rick, when you think about Uke, I mean, you've been with the organization for over 20 years. You got a chance to know Uke over your time. He was so loyal to the organization and charitable, too. And that's one of those things, I think people understand that, but there's a whole story to tell in that regard, too.
Yeah, I mean, loyalty was his brand. He had been offered opportunities to go national, to do things, to work for other teams. I know George Steinbrenner of the Yankees kept trying to poach him. Milwaukee was his home and his love, and he never left us. The man was very charitable. Like, he got postseason bonuses. Christian and his teammates voted him full shares, which is, depending how deep you go, it can be a lot of money. And he would instantly donate it to causes that he cared about. He was a huge supporter of Make-A-Wish, military veterans. He did a lot of things behind the scenes. It wasn't about his brand. It wasn't about his name recognition. He did it anonymously, but he cared about people, and he showed it in meaningful ways.
Matt, you were in the clubhouse for so many postseason celebrations, wild card clinches, divisional clinches, series clinchers. What was it like to share those moments with Uke, and what are those memories going to be like for you for the rest of your life?
Yeah, incredible. I mean, you know, I got to bond with him in so many different ways, including getting showered with all kinds of champagne and going nuts together. But I started my career as a scout, and actually Bob did as well, and got to bond over scouting in a lot of ways and spent a lot of minutes together. And you know, one of the things that he taught me, one of the biggest lessons that I learned, was that it's not just about the talent, it's about the person. And Bob was so special about that. When you could layer the talent together with the right person, you end up with people like Christian Yelich in your clubhouse and the culture that you can build around. I think Bob was so special in that regard, because Murph still talks about this all the time, about how we play the game. The way we go about our business is something that is just a testament to Bob's legacy and who he was.
Wonderful touch on the shoes today as well, Arnie, by the way.
Uke shoes. Shout out to Uke and the shoes. So.
There's a documentary coming out in a couple of weeks, and hopefully you'll all have the chance to go see it. Without giving too much away, there's some really powerful scenes between Uke and Yelly. And you two had such an incredible bond, Christian. It was really incredible to see from a distance and from up close as one of Uke's broadcast partners. How often do you think back, Yelly, at that day in January when you jumped on a plane in Arizona with Mark Attanasio and Robin Yount and Bob Uecker and flew to Milwaukee? Your head is spinning. You just got traded to a new organization. And think about the friendship you were going to form with Uke that you probably didn't understand you were going to form on that day. Do you reflect on that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time I had met Uke, and I didn't know how close we'd become and how good of friends we'd become that day on the plane, and meeting him, Robin, Mark, Bronny, bunch of people for the first time. I'd been a Brewer for probably 2 days at the time, and was just trying to make new friends and get to know where I was going to be for the next year. Everything was happening pretty fast, but it was special to get to know Uke over the years and get to see him, you know, in his environment, just with the guys hanging out, telling stories, getting to be himself. And that was a special stuff, just getting to be around him and go to dinners and be his friend and just hear about his life and his experiences and all the things he got to do, not only in baseball, but outside of it with some of the acting stuff and, you know, the Tonight Show and astronauts calling him and presidents calling him and all kinds of crazy stuff that he got to do. And it was just a privilege to get to hear it. And I'm sure that's a pretty familiar story with everybody that got to be with him and be around him.
And Yelly, Murph mentioned it, that you didn't care if you were an MVP or the guy that just got called up. And sometimes he was at his best when a guy was going through it a little bit as a sounding board for players that were maybe going through some struggles. He always seemed to be at his best when he talked to those guys. Did you notice that too?
Yeah, I mean, he always had players' backs, right? Like, right. You know, he understood how hard the game was, how much you struggle in the game. That's kind of who he was as a player. It was just, you know, he understood the grind and how hard that it was to be successful in baseball. So when guys were struggling or going through it or having a bit of a tough stretch, he'd always come around, tell you, had your back, and crack a joke, maybe go into, you know, Harry Doyle from Major League sometimes, or who knows what he did. But he'd always lighten the mood and just hang out. And, you know, whether it was me or somebody like everyone said up here that just got called up, he'd ask you how your family was, your background. He'd know everything about you the first day that you showed up. And he just really enjoyed being one of the guys and being around the team.
That was the voice of Christian Yelich, as fine folks sharing stories and memories and really painting a picture of who Bob Uecker was. That was Christian Yelich. You also heard the voice of Matt Arnold of the Milwaukee Brewers, also Rick Schlesinger of the Milwaukee Brewers organization, and Pat Murphy, the Milwaukee Brewers manager, all moderated by Brewers broadcaster Lane Grindle. And if you want to see this mural and you're like, oh, I haven't seen it yet, because it is, it's brand new. It just got freshly signed a couple of days ago. All you got to do is text the word mural to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Text M-U-R-A-L to 855-616-1620. You text mural to 855-616-1620. You will get a link to our coverage. You can see the progress of the painting that's 10 stories tall all the way through from mid-May all the way to the completion. And go ahead and make plans to get your photo with it downtown and be in the presence of a 10-story tall portrait of Bob Uecker. And next, where to see sky celebrations celebrating the 4th of July. Wisconsin area fireworks and drone shows next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. What are you doing to celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day weekend? Well, if you like sky celebrations, oh, you're in luck. There are many drone and fireworks displays to enjoy, and just some options for you. I did some research, and I'm not going to read out the complete alphabetical list, or at least a thorough alphabetical list, but I will see what I can do for you here for fireworks displays and for drone displays. So if you love the drones or you're interested in them, Milwaukee, Lake Geneva, and Franklin are your drone hotspots. The Lakefront Drone Show in Milwaukee, that is Friday. So that is going to be a 45-minute synchronized drone show that starts at about 9:15, and there will be pyrotechnic drones lighting up the sky, images and themes celebrating patriotism, and you'll see some of Milwaukee's iconic landmarks. This is the second annual July 3rd drone show at McKinley Beach in downtown Milwaukee, and then July 4th in Lake Geneva, strong drone show. It's a light show over Geneva Lake that will be celebrating America's 250th birthday, and, you know, they like to do it right there on the lake. There'll be food trucks and balloon artists, roaming performers, and live music. So that's a hotspot for drones on July 4th. And then, stretching out the celebration, Franklin's drone light show is Sunday. And they do both fireworks and a separate drone light show as part of their extended celebration. So that's where you can get your 21st century drone celebration on. But if you like the old school fireworks, no problem. Friday fireworks in Menominee Falls, Muskego, Oak Creek, and Waukesha. And then the 4th of July, Brown Deer, Cedarburg, Cudahy, Franklin, Germantown, Glendale, Greendale, Greenfield, Hales Corners, a lot of the Milwaukee County parks, Pewaukee, Port Washington, Racine, Shorewood, South Milwaukee, St. Francis, Toso, West Dallas, West Bend, and Whitefish Bay all have July 4th fireworks and displays to be proud of. And the Menominee Falls fireworks Friday will be after the parade. The parade starts at 7, so you still got time to make your plans for that. Oak Creek's fireworks Friday are at 9:30, and Waukesha's fireworks are at 9:30 all Friday night. And then Saturday, you've got, like I said, you rattled off so many of those July 4th fireworks, including Brown Deer and Cedarburg with the big 4th of July celebrations. Cudahy and Franklin do their fireworks on Saturday before they do their drone show on Sunday. And Germantown has a full day of fun for the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, including cornhole, kickball, a foam party, and face painting, along with their live music. And like I said, Glendale, the Greendale Lions Fest has their 4th of July celebration. So really, Hales Corners, they've got their Firecracker 4 run going on, in addition to bed races and a patriotic pet costume contest as part of their celebration before they launch their fireworks at 9:30. So I do have, if you go to WTMJ.com, you can see on the weekend trend, I have some more events listed there for fireworks and drones. But the celebrations aren't just in the sky. They are also on the ground. If you're into parades and some unique events, I'll share those with you next on What's on Tap on WTMJ.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
As we get into July 4th, we're just talking about a list of drone shows and fireworks around our area. There is fun to be had on land. And if parades are your thing for the 4th of July, you've got parades to look forward to, mostly in the mornings, in Cedarburg, Cudahy, Eagle, Franklin, Germantown, Glendale, Greenfield, Hales Corners, several of the parks in Milwaukee, and New Berlin, Oak Creek, Pewaukee, Racine, Shorewood, South Milwaukee, St. Francis, Waukesha, Wauwatosa, and West Bend and Whitefish Bay all have 4th of July parades planned. In Wauwatosa, their Independence Day parade, I think this is very thoughtful. The parade route, they have a designated sensory zone between 81st and 80th Street. So light and sound are minimized. So that way, if you're, you know, want to go out and play but can get a little overstimulated, that is the area for you. So in Tosa, between 81st and 80th Street, the sensory zone there. Glendale's Independence Day celebration is going to include North Shore Fire Department's Summer Soak in the park, and both a children's parade and a main parade. And Hales Corners, this was making me chuckle, the 4th of July celebration that includes bed races. Oh yeah, where you put your four-poster bed on wheels and running as fast as you can. A pie baking contest, a patriotic pet costume contest, and an antique and classic car show. That should be cool. So 4th of July, that sounds like a lot of fun. Even if you don't live in Hales Corners, that sounds like a fun party. 4 o'clock is their big parade on Saturday in Hales Corners. The donut eating contest, you'll find that in Humboldt Park in Milwaukee, at the right there in Bayview for their 4th of July. They have a morning parade and live music there. And the Milwaukee Flyers tumbling team will be performing in Wilson Park at that 4th of July celebration. And Lions Park, they've got a foam party planned, in addition to cornhole, bike and scooter judging, live music, and free hot dogs, brats and burgers and cake while it lasts there in Lions Park. And Whitefish Bay's 4th of July celebration includes a fireworks finale on the 4th of July, but they also have the parade to enjoy there as well. And other events worth highlighting beyond fireworks and parades. In Brookfield on Friday night, you've got the Starry Nights Tribute to America 250 with the Wisconsin Philharmonic, an outdoor performance out there on the lawn, and the American Legion Post 449 Honor Guard will be posting the colors there. In Kenosha, if you like music, Friday, Let Freedom Sing, the Kenosha Pops Concert, and you're going to hear the marches and the big music. 250 years, a time capsule of American music is the theme. And also in Kenosha, the Celebrate America Carnival is today through Saturday, where you can enjoy midway rides looking over the harbor. And also at the Milwaukee County Zoo, I like this, $4 on the 4th. Go Saturday, and admission is just $4 for all guests on the 4th of July. And you can take part in the Sea to Shining Sea Digital Scavenger Hunt as part of America's 250th. So get out and have some fun on this holiday weekend. And Oh, yeah. Speaking of fireworks, Summerfest has fireworks on the 4th of July that I didn't mention yet. I'll tell you all the sorts of fun things that are happening on the 4th of July at Summerfest and some Summerfest picks next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Jelly Roll, going to play Summerfest for the first time. Saturday, July 4th, headlining the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. And lots going on. There's still time to get to Summerfest. And the headliners on Friday, not the full band, but you get the Gene Simmons Band headlining Friday night. It just sounds great, doesn't it? Gonna rock the U-Line stage. Sorry, Kiss was my very first concert ever, and I was 10 years old, so that leaves a mark. I don't know that I need to get back to see Gene and his cobra boots and big makeup, but I know a lot of people who are looking forward to that show. And then also, headlining Friday night, Reverend Run from Run DMC on the Briggs & Stratton Big Backyard. That seems to be it's going to be a fun show. Lots of people singing along with the formative years of hip-hop there with Run DMC. And on July 4th, you've got a lot of bands to choose from. Rolling around the headliners on July 4th, Sam Barber with Country Folk, Jonah Kagan with Acoustic Music, Kerry King, yes, that Kerry King from Slayer with some thrash metal. Also, The Temper Trap and Ozzy. They're from New Zealand, an indie band. And I think this is a cool booking, Straight No Chaser, a cappella music on the U-Line stage on July 4th. And I think one of the biggest shows to see on July 4th are the hometown favorites. Bodine's celebrating their 40th anniversary. They are headlining on the Generac Power Stage on July 4th. And I also have some other musical picks for July 4th, including talking about homecomings. Jerry Harrison of Talking Heads. He is going to be on the U-Line stage earlier in the day on July 4th. He's got a 50th anniversary of the Talking Heads show that he is celebrating. So go see Jerry Harrison performing some epic music there with Talking Heads. And as far as fun things that are not necessarily musical on July 4th, you can get in for free on July 4th. The first 5,000 folks I want to make sure I get this right, who donate food will be getting in for free. I will triple check that, but for sure on Summerfest Harley-Davidson celebration. So certainly the first 5,000 folks are going to get a cool Harley-Davidson America 250 Summerfest bandana. And as soon as you walk in that midgate, there's a Harley-Davidson Liberty Edition motorcycle on display that you can get a photo with. Here we go. Freedom on the 4th food drive presented by Harley-Davidson. Say, because I thought that all benefited Hunger Task Force. So first 5,000 people between noon and 3 to donate 3 non-perishable food items will get in for free as well. And then at 4:20 on the Generac Power Stage, there is going to be a big Summerfest celebration of America's 250th, including the Bodines performing Closer to Free at that afternoon program before they headline the Generac Power Stage and probably play Closer to Free again. God Bless America will be sung by Jenny Thiel, and there's going to be a coordinated flag-waving moment with thousands of American flags, and you'll even get an American flag when you walk in at Summerfest. So that is a very patriotic way, and Summerfest is actually part of the official America 250 block party, and so part of the recognized as a bipartisan effort to bring people together across the country. So lots to enjoy there. And as part of the America 250, I love this as well. The Library of Congress has a touring Airstream. So one of those big silvery looking trailers. And you can go in and record your personal story about patriotism, about what you love about America as part of Our American Story Project. It will probably be air-conditioned inside as well, so you might want to try that. So look for a lot of cool things happening at Summerfest on July 4th. And I can't talk about the Bodines and not play them, right? The song you need to hear, Get Ready to Turn Up, Waukesha's Favorites, next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
July 4th coincides with another celebration. The finale of Summerfest falls on July 4th, which makes it a even bigger reason to party on the lakefront as part of Summerfest celebration of America's 250th and fireworks show presented by Harley-Davidson. At 4:20 on the Generac Power Stage, there's going to be a community celebration and patriotic program. Wisconsin's own Bodines are going to throw back to those way back years in Waukesha, and they're going to perform their song Closer to Free on a day where we're celebrating freedom. They're going to play that song in the afternoon ceremony and likely again when they headline the Generac Power Stage celebrating their 40th anniversary show. The Bodines, the song you need to hear, Closer to Free on WTMJ.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max. Sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to this second hour of What's on Tap, where I am very excited to talk about the world's biggest Bloody Mary in a little while. But first, as we talk about celebrating America, there's a patriotic ballet created right here in Wisconsin that I'm excited to share with you. We talked about A Hero's Homecoming, an original ballet set in World War II created by Wisconsin Dance Theater last summer. And Wisconsin Dance Theater, a brand new dance company as of last year. And now, if you missed it last year, you have at least six chances to see this ballet because Wisconsin Dance Theater has grown. And I'm very excited about this because it's ambitious to start a new dance company. So to tell us more about this ballet and what's special about it and how it has grown and is affecting even more history preservation and veterans is Wisconsin Dance Theater Artistic Director Samuel Huberty. How are you?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
I think you're doing better than that, but you're tired. Yeah. You've got a lot of preparation, don't you?
We do. We're doing a lot of stuff right now. I think the joke is we don't burn the candle at both ends. We burn the candelabra. So it's just we're working overtime right now to get everything ready, but it's going really well. So.
Burn the candelabra. Yeah. That is fantastic. Well, you have performances in July in Elkhorn, Wales, and Manitowoc. Mm-hmm. But before we get into details about where the performances are, what is A Hero's Homecoming about?
Yeah, absolutely. So it follows the story of a group of soldiers coming back to the U.S. Post-World War II and refitting back into their life in the community and all of the sort of shenanigans and things that happen when, you know, it's like if you've been gone at college for a while and all of a sudden you're trying to fit back in at Thanksgiving, like the same kind of, it's something everybody experiences or most people do at one point in their life. But it was such, there was so much change at that time too, culturally in the United States that through all of the shifts, it's kind of fun to observe what was going on. And that's kind of what we tried to encapsulate in that story by getting everybody in and, you know, helping them, kind of pan out their life for the next little bit.
I was delighted to get to see the production last year. And yeah. Again, kudos to you for starting a new dance company here in Wisconsin, where you grew up.
Yep.
Wisconsin Dance Theater, but that's very ambitious. And you're a young man. You know, you're not a person who's like done three chapters of other careers and like, this is the new chapter I'd like to do. So congratulations. And it has to be exciting for you to see this grow. And I was delighted because then also it's like, oh no, what if I don't like it? What am I going to say to Sam? It was a wonderful production, incredible dancing, great storytelling, great set and scenery, great costumes. Good music and great music. Yeah. I don't want to say good music after I said great, but it really is a professional production with wonderful multi-generational performers. Mm-hmm. And then when you're standing out in the lobby, an incredible collection of World War II memorabilia from people from Wisconsin who served was part of it. So it really was an enriching, entertaining experience. So that's one of the reasons I'm so thrilled that you'll get to share this with more people in the month of July. And why did you really want to tell a World War II era story through ballet?
Because
you created this.
I did, yeah. You didn't
just start a dance company. Like, you're also a creator and a choreographer.
Yeah. So the story was, I'm trying to remember exactly how we came about with the idea, but I was chatting with my wife about things that were, you know, there's a lot that's shifting all the time in life, and I don't think it's actually a blessing. I think it's supposed to be used as a curse, but it's "may you live in interesting times." But yeah,
I've heard that phrase. Yes,
so, you know, it's there's so much going on around us right now. We were kind of like, well, you know, like what happened before? You know, when were some major cultural shifts? And World War II is a pretty big one. You know, there was a lot that happened. I mean, everything from like the development of grocery stores becoming more commonplace after the war, like that was a thing. The GI Bill to increase education, like college started becoming more accessible to people post-World War II. Like there were so many things that changed, you know, from women entering the workforce at a significantly higher rate to the dynamic of the family changing. And American culture had a massive shift during that time. And you know, I'm a nerd in my very minimal personal life.
In what way are you a nerd?
I love reading. I love learning. If we go on vacation, I'm up at, you know, 6-7 in the morning because I've found a museum. I want to go read all the plaques and go see everything that I can. We went to Rome, and I mean we would go out as soon as the stuff was open. I mean 7-8 in the morning, and we would go all day until like 8 or 9 o'clock, just going to museums and going to cathedrals and going. It's just, you know, learning is just fantastic.
Living life and telling stories. But all of that nerddom that you say there, Sam, is what informs you and opens your mind and shows you more stories and also some of the universalities in those stories. Because I certainly picked up on that in A Hero's Homecoming with, again, it's dance, so there aren't words. And there are so many moves and gestures between a couple, between two men competing, between girls chatting, you know, and just and all of those nuances and relationships that you can pick up on or put your own experience into that and interpretation. But so I would not say you're a nerd, but I would say that you, you know, devour life. You consume the stories and the facts.
That's a great way. I mean, I really like how you put that. That's really nice. we really wanted to make it. A lot of what we're doing with the shows that we're developing right now is we're trying to create works that a modern audience can understand and appreciate in a way that's different from classical repertoire. You know, the pantomime sometimes it's maybe almost you could say pedantic. You know, it's like Sleeping Beauty's 3 hours long. It's hard to hold people's attention for that long. It's just given the how people's attention span has to function on a daily basis with emails and work and their Outlook pinging every 5 minutes. And, you know, it's like you just, the pace of life is very fast, and to sit and it, sometimes it's a little too slow pace for people to get them into it. You know, once they come, they might want to then go and see it eventually, but it's sort of like the gap between people coming into the ballet and how people exist in normal life is almost increasing just because of how people function and how dances, it's changing, but you know, how much. So we're trying to really change how the format of the show is without necessarily the classical pantomime, but a lot of what you saw, like it's much more natural the way that things are expressed, and the feedback we got was that you could understand what was happening on stage without, you didn't really need to read the synopsis. It wasn't necessarily like you could just watch the show and it was very clear what was going on.
It's almost cinematic. It's almost like watching a movie. We tried. We're talking about A Hero's Homecoming that debuted here in Wisconsin last year at Wisconsin Dance Theater, a brand new dance company here in our state. And now more performances in the second year. We're going to find out why Manitowoc made the cut, and what is very special about the costumes in A Hero's Homecoming as we continue this creative conversation with Wisconsin Dance Theater Artistic Director Sam Huberty about A Hero's Homecoming. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
That is the kind of music you will hear at A Hero's Homecoming Ballet. Yes, I said ballet. In the studio with me from Wisconsin Dance Theater is the artistic director and founder, Sam Huberty. Are you a co-founder? Or
that's a great question.
Okay.
We have a ton of people right now.
Starting a brand new dance company last year called Wisconsin Dance Theater, and you world premiered A Hero's Homecoming here last year, and now... After that run, increasing it to more cities this July, and we'll get to the specifics on Elkhorn, Wales, and Manitowoc, where you can see this World War II ballet with World War II costumes, which you've brought one, which if you text the word watch, W-A-T-C-H, text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited talk and text line, 855-616-1620. If you text the word watch, we'll also show you a sizzle reel of the... A Hero's Homecoming performance to give you an idea of what we're talking about, but also what's special about the costumes. But before we get to the uniform costumes, I want to ask you about, you know, what did veterans and military families say to you last year after seeing the performance? Is that what made it possible to do more performances this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was really touching. A lot of, you know, because when you're working in the arts, it's like, well, you know, How are we contributing? What can we give back? What can we do for people? And, you know, there's always like, well, art's really important to culture. And it's like, yeah, you know, and it is. And we wanted to try and make a very specific and direct impact and say thank you to people that really like they, we now have the freedom to be able to go on and start a ballet company and make a show that however we want to make it, and, you know, say what we want to say. And so we really wanted to say thank you. Just for their service and their sacrifice. And the people that came to the show, I think that everyone said they really appreciated it. The moment with Taps, we had a lot of tears. We had a lot of people, like, genuinely very touching. And we go through, we work with everybody. We coach that very specifically. We have someone come in to teach us how to do the salute right. We have the flag folded properly. Like, we take we take a lot of time and care to make sure that that's done correctly, because it's meaningful to people, and it's a big deal and a lot of respect that we want to pay forward. But we actually had a veteran from World War II that came to the show in Elkhorn, and it was so funny because he came and he was like, it looked exactly how I remembered things looking. He's like, the dresses that people were wearing and the uniforms, and it's like it was so perfect, like it. And he was so much fun. Like he was like, yeah, I went skydiving 2 years ago and he was like 102 or 103.
Oh, yeah, like in his 90s at least.
Yeah, I know he was at least 100 years old. And I actually, sadly, I think he did pass away this past year, like after the show, a couple months later. So unfortunately, I don't think he won't be making it.
Wait, but Sam, how meaningful to have touched him and to have your artistic vision to tell this story set in World War II as soldiers are coming back and reintegrating into their community, truly a hero's homecoming, as the title says.
Yeah.
But for him to get it and to share that with you, your heart must have grown.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, and we had all the dancers come out to meet him, you know, because they were so excited. They were like, really? Like, there's a veteran from World War II here in the lobby? We were like, yeah. They're like, would you mind coming out to say hi? And they're like, oh, no. So they everybody from the cast came out and said hi, and we have some pictures with him. I mean, he had so many fun stories, and we got to talk with him for a while, and it really was great, you know, and he had some pointers for like how people interacted socially at the time. And like, it was so phenomenal to get that insight.
That's a wonderful story. I mean, that is the power of art connecting people. It really is. A Hero's Homecoming is a patriotic ballet set in World War II that you can see In July in Elkhorn, Wales, and Manitowoc, we will tell you more about how you can see it and what's special about the costumes if you're really into World War II history. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
I am Sandy Max. It is What's on Tap. I am very happy to continue the conversation about A Hero's Homecoming, a patriotic ballet created right here in Wisconsin by the Wisconsin Dance Theater and performed last year in Elkhorn and Kettle Moraine, which is where I got to see, I think, the very last performance because I didn't want to miss it. Sam Huberty is the artistic director of Wisconsin Dance Theater, and I'm so glad that you are back, and I'm so glad that the show has expanded across three cities now, professional dancers, local students, you have live jazz music. It's a love story, but it's also about sacrifice, and it's about what it's like to have to blend back in into your community. But what's also special this year, not only do you get to do six performances in Elkhorn, Wales, and Manitowoc all together, a portion of the ticket sales is supporting the preservation of some very important local history. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We're working with the Maritime Museum, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc, and we're a portion of the proceeds from the tickets are going to support the USS Cobia, the maintenance for it, because I think it's somewhere, and I don't the exact number. I'm sure is not this, but they said it's like roughly $180,000, I think, annually to keep it functional. It's
a World War II submarine.
It's,
yeah,
it's old. You know, that's
think
that's,
about what it costs to keep a vintage car in good shape. You know, now you're talking about a military vessel underwater.
Yeah, I mean, the process they go through is just absolutely insane to keep this thing running. I mean, and it's such an important piece of history, and it's so phenomenal. And if you haven't seen it, please go check it out. Go visit the museum. It's so cool. So we were able to talk to them last year. We tried to get them to come because we were just trying to help them. Like, you know, I was like, come to the shows if you want to set up a booth so you can take donations. They unfortunately, the drive was too far for the volunteers. So we pass out information at the shows anyways. And they invited us up to Manitowoc to put the show on to help raise money for to the USS Cobia. So it was really like, it was so wonderful. And they've been so phenomenal to work with. And it's such a fantastic group of individuals. So I'm very excited.
I'm so excited for you to have had the artistic vision and the support and the teamwork to go, I'm going to start a dance company. I'm moving back to my home state. Wisconsin Dance Theater is what I'm going to pour my creativity into. Mm-hmm. I'm going to create shows, going to choreograph, going to perform. Because you're in A Hero's Homecoming.
Yes.
We get to see you perform.
You do, yeah.
Excellent. But I'm just... We'll get back to that. I just think it has to feel good for you to have created this and see that not only is there an appetite for dance and ballet and to learn history this way, but the community support and the connection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so fantastic to see people after the show, you know, like talking with their families, talking with strangers, and saying thank you to either to veterans or current service members in the lobby, you know, because we really, at the end of the show, we try to make a point to, you know, say thank you and encourage that as a consciousness going forward for that sacrifice. And it's fantastic to see how the climate changed when you walk out of the theater. People are in a really good mood and they're talking, and it's fantastic.
You're making a positive impact in the community in so many ways.
Trying very hard.
Congratulations. That is wonderful. So Elkhorn Area High School, July 11th and July 12th. Mm-hmm. Kettle Moraine High School, again in Wales, July 18th and 19th, which, funny again, is my birthday, which is why I went last year. So there we go. I'll have to come back for another birthday performance. And at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc on the 25th and 26th. So Friday and Saturday performances. What is the best way to find out more?
Visit the website, wisconsindancetheater.com. You know, you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. You can look, you know, if you start, we try to get on every board we can for what's happening in each of the cities, work with the Chamber of Commerce, all those things. So if you start looking around for it, it'll come up pretty quickly.
And
we're working.
Very good. And well, again, you're part of the community, and you are certainly welcoming veterans with a 40% ticket discount.
Yes. Yeah. And head to, we donate a number of tickets to VetTix as well, so that if for whatever reason, you know, if that you can get the tickets no matter what. They're free on VetTix for veterans, and if they run out, we do have the 40% discount. But please come. We really want to say thank you.
It's a hero's homecoming, a patriotic ballet set at a homecoming from World War II with all sorts of relatable stories. So if someone has never seen ballet before, if you're going, veteran, I don't think my Marine dad would want to see this, you might be surprised, as you can tell from the stories that Sam Huberty, the artistic director, has been telling. You can see Sam on stage, and in just a couple minutes, I'm going to keep you just one more short segment, because you're going to want to text WATCH to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620, because Sam has brought one of the costumes, which is a World War II uniform. I'm impressed. And what have you done to it? We will find out next on What's on Tap. Stay with me and Sam.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. Just a few more minutes with Sam Huberty. He is the artistic director of the Wisconsin Dance Theater and really creator and choreographer of A Hero's Homecoming. You hear that music? That's the kind of music you're going to hear at this ballet set in World War II. And before I let you go, again, text the word WATCH to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620, because you want to see this. You've brought in one of the costumes, and this is a fact that blows my mind.
Yeah.
The costumes that the male dancers are wearing are World War II uniforms.
Yes. Yeah. They are all service uniforms.
Oh, hold that up.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
From World War II. So these, I mean, this is a Marine uniform, and this was, the gentleman that wore it, his name was Jerry Nolte. And he's actually the grandfather of the insurance agent for the studio.
But connected.
And so he had donated the uniform, and we talked to him a little bit about, and so the characters, all the names in the programs, if they had a spouse, that's their partner's name, and we tried to really, like, just to kind of keep the legacy going for those people. But, I mean, these things are wool suits. So they are... They're
thick and heavy. You're making you sweat.
Yeah, you
How
sweat
do you
a
have
bit,
to though. Adapt a military uniform to make it danceable, though? I mean, you know, because wardrobe malfunctions, and you want to treat that with integrity and respect.
Yep. So we do not alter as much as we can the exterior of the uniform. We did have to
those
vent.
Brass buttons. Yeah. It's
like, yeah. This is all like to and to replace lining, these is kind of a trick. Cause if anything comes off on stage, everything is replaced as from the 40s. We have to go and find it.
Wow. Actual period costumes. Yeah. Or period uniforms.
Yeah. There's a lot of it. It's a lot of it's available online, but you have to dig to find the right, you know, year and everything. And, but so we had to gusset the armpits because we had a test jacket, and that got kind of,
I can imagine there's some seams ripping and
just for the overhead presses and all of the, you know, for the appropriate movement and range of motion we had to. But in order to do that, we had a seamstress who went and was testing the fabric with light to make sure that you couldn't really see it from off stage. You couldn't see the change and so it was.
But and I was just gonna say that's even more local talent.
Yes,
you have to have someone who really knows how to work with the integrity of a vintage fabric.
Yeah.
While making it modern.
Yeah,
and
Casey.
Movable.
Casey at Casey's Creations in Dousman. She's probably the most talented seamstress we've ever worked with. She's phenomenal. She helps us all the time. We go in with questions on stuff. We're like, how can we? So she was able to help lighten the inside of the jackets. We took out some of the lining and the padding, and we tried to vent them as much as they can because they are a little warm, and we dance a lot. So,
but you and the rest of the dancers who are back this year, everybody came back except for one dancer who was otherwise occupied. But so to know that you are embodying these stories and preserving history in so many different layers, from the costumes to the music to working with organizations and now the Maritime Museum to help preserve military submarines, like, and also connecting with VetTix to make sure that they can see these. And it's just wonderful. And how many people do you think have been in your audience have never been to a ballet before?
I think if I remember correctly, last year from the ticketing statistics and when we did a little bit of a survey, it was roughly half.
You're turning people on to ballet, their first time. Congratulations.
We had a lot of people actually travel in from out of state too, which was kind of shocking. We had people calling in to figure out what hotels we'd recommend. And I at first I thought it was a joke. You know, I was like, it was somebody coming, I think from Iowa. And I was like, you're driving all the way. I mean, I'm so happy that you are. That's fantastic. But I thought it was a friend pulling a prank on me, asking me which hotels in my hometown that they thought they should stay at. And I was like, man, you know.
Sam Huberty, artistic director of the Wisconsin Dance Theater, improving our communities in so many ways. Arts economy right there, bringing people into Wisconsin to see the world premiere of a hero's homecoming of ballet based in World War II. Do you want to invite everybody to the different dates? Do you have them memorized?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Yep. In Elkhorn, we'll be in Elkhorn on the 11th and 12th of July, 7 p.m. on the 11th and 2 p.m. on the 12th. And we will be in Wales at KM High School, Kettle Moraine High School, from the 18th at 7 p.m. and the 19th at 2 p.m. And we will be in Manitowoc on the 25th. We have a show at 7 p.m. And on the 26th, we have a show at 3 p.m.
At the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, a very special space to be performing A Hero's Homecoming.
Yep.
Congratulations. I'm very excited to see the growth of Wisconsin Dance Theater and just your ripple effect touching so many people.
Yeah, we're very grateful for the support.
WisconsinDanceTheater.com. Thank you so much, Sam, and continued success to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us. We're going to have a big pour next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And do you love a tasty, tangy Bloody Mary with a beer chaser? That's how we do it here in Wisconsin. Would you love to be part of history? Well, you have your chance to be part of a Guinness World Record July 4th. You could be sipping on the world's largest Bloody Mary. Everyone is invited. You do have to have ID to sample the big Bloody Mary, but everyone's invited to the waterfront bar known as Smashed on the Rocks Saloon in Algoma, just south of Door County. You could be part of this fun festival that also includes food and music and fireworks and a blessing of the boats. There's a lot going on, but the big attraction is the world's largest Bloody Mary. And I am happy to welcome to What's on Tap with all of the details on this massive idea, Smashed on the Rocks co-owner, Raina Ninneman. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am excited. I think this is, I love a big idea. How did this idea even start about, I mean, I've seen, we'll show pictures on our WTMJ YouTube live stream, the mug that you are mixing the Bloody Marys in itself is over 6 feet tall, and you need truly like construction equipment to tip it and serve it. How did this start?
Exactly. Well, we have a passion for Bloody Marys, and we've been doing this for 13 years. So when we were invited to the Bloody Mary Festival in Milwaukee, and we were so honored to win 3 years in a row for the best mix, best garnish, and people's choice, we thought that repeat was so special, and technically we're considered the best according to the people, so we thought, why not go for the biggest? And then we started researching, and the biggest was held at 155 gallons, and it's in Canada. So this has been in the works for a few years, and we thought 4th of July falls on a Saturday. It's the 250th anniversary of the country. We really need to bring this one home to Wisconsin.
America, absolutely. Now, you're talking about three-time winner in all those different categories. What is it do you think that makes your Bloody Mary so special?
We've been working on this recipe and kind of changing things until we had it perfected. My grandma, known as Grandma Smashed, wanted a signature drink for our bar when we first opened. It was kind of a dilapidated, rundown place, but it had so much potential being right on Lake Michigan. So it's just evolved over the years, and we created this signature cocktail with over-the-top garnishes and a lot of little secret ingredients that go into it.
Raina, you're making me laugh. I won't ask you any of the secret ingredients. I'll ask you, can you share one of your favorite ingredients in the Bloody Mary mix?
Well, the tomato juice.
Okay, very good.
Other than that.
You've got to keep it under lock and key. I get it. How did Grandma Smashed get her nickname?
Well, we were smashed on the rocks, and she just was so personable with everyone. She wanted everyone to feel so comfortable there that she would go around and talk to every single person that came through the doors. She wanted them to make sure that they were comfortable and welcome, and they would stay and relax, and she just became Grandma Smash. She was everyone's grandma, and unfortunately, she's not here with us. She had passed in January, so this is going to be not only just a big celebration, but her celebration of life as well.
Oh, Raina, that's so sweet. And I got to think, not only a celebration of life, she'll be there in spirit. She would have probably been very
Absolutely.
Excited about this. What do you think Grandma Smashed would have done as part of this festival?
Oh, she would get the people going and cheering, and she would just have everyone so hyped up.
Well, paint the picture for us. I was talking about the huge mug. Tell us what's, for anybody coming to Algoma on the 4th, what will they actually see with this 300-gallon Bloody Mary mix when it all comes together?
When it all comes together, the whole day is going to be a festival. We have a big top tent. We're going to have live music starting at 9 a.m. until midnight. And the Bloody Mary is already up on our personal stage that's there all the time. We just got it up there today. It's all sanitized and ready to rock. And you will see three bartenders pouring in gallons and gallons of vodka while we have an assembly of some good, strong guys with the five-gallon buckets of the Bloody Mary mix going into the mug and being stirred. We hope to have that done within an hour. You can watch it come to life. And it is truly our recipe. We didn't skimp on any detail. It should taste just how every small one tastes, but at a 300-gallon scale.
Wow. Did you have to make them in small batches, bucket by bucket, in order to do
we
this?
We did.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we made almost 75-gallon buckets, and we had a whole crew of our people. We have such a great staff, and we didn't skip any details. We all picked an ingredient, and we mixed them up, and they are ready to go.
Talking with Raina Ninneman, co-owner of Smashed on the Rocks in Algoma, where they are attempting to get the world's largest Bloody Mary made on Saturday, July the 4th. Start mixing it noon, hoping to serve by 1. And on this big 6-foot-tall red mug, it looks like you have windows cut out on the side. Is that so we can see the Bloody Mary continue to fill the big mug?
Exactly. You'll watch it be filled, and then you watch it go down and be consumed. We okay. wanted a picture window. We wanted it to resemble our Bloody, but still be able to see it.
So how in the world do you serve out of this 6-foot-tall, 300-gallon mug? Is it ladles?
No, it has a spout. It's very professional. It's made by a mechanical shop who works on Leinenkugel's tanks and all kinds of food-grade equipment. So he didn't miss any details. It has the pour spout at the bottom, and we have giant tomato ice cubes, so it won't be getting watered down. It'll stay cold, and yeah, and we're ready to go. We're ready to do this.
Raina, the tomato ice cubes, that's a brilliant touch.
Yes.
Well, this is a lot of fun. I'm not going to ask you if you have a bowling ball-sized olive or any of the oversized garnishes. I assume that would just be getting greedy. We'll just enjoy the Bloody Mary flavor. And wait a minute, is there a beer chaser that goes with this?
Absolutely. We do have a garnish bar, and we have a beer chaser as well provided by Lake Whisper Brewing and Miller Lite.
So starting at 1, you show your ID, you get a pour, you get your beer chaser. You could be serving how many Bloody Marys out of this big mug?
We estimate at least 2,500.
Wow. That's a lot of sipping. And I do want to, before I let you go, because I'm sure you have more mixes to make before the July 4th holiday. Not only is this a fun attempt to get the world record for the world's largest Bloody Mary with the Guinness World Record folks, but you also are supporting local causes. This is a festival and a community fundraiser.
Right. Yes, we want to raise money for veterans, for our local food pantry, and the violence intervention program out of Algoma. And it's such a great community. There's so many good people here, good business owners, great bars and restaurants. It's Algoma is truly a hidden gem, and I think more people are discovering us, and we want to give back to the community that is just wonderful and lovely.
Raina, what is the best way to find out more if somebody wants to make plans to join you there for the world's largest Bloody Mary on Saturday?
Definitely follow us on our social medias, Smashed on the Rocks on Facebook, and Snatch on the Rocks on Instagram. We post there all the time.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm just so tickled by this. If I can get there, I will. This is one of those.
I hope you do.
I would say I'll have big FOMO if I wasn't there, especially if you break the world record and beat those Canadians.
Exactly.
And plus,
it's a once in a lifetime event.
And get to raise a glass to Grandma Smashed. So thanks for all that you do to make this a fun community, and cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much. Happy 4th.
Oh, happy 4th to you, too. She is Raina Ninneman of Smashed on the Rock Saloon in Algoma. And I'm Sandy Max. You're listening to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Patriotic music as we get into our July 4th weekend. Thank you so much for joining me. If you missed out on anything, you can always catch up on the podcast. We also have a list of some fun entertainment options this holiday weekend on The Weekend Trend, which you can find on WTMJ.com. But thank you so much for joining me. And big thank you to my guests, Wisconsin Dance Theater Artistic Director Sam Huberty and the World War II Ballet, an original created right here in Wisconsin called A Hero's Homecoming, will perform in July in Elkhorn, Wales, and Manitowoc. If you're interested in that, wisconsindancetheater.com. And big thank you to Raina Ninneman, who is about to have a big old party on July 4th in Algoma at Smashed on the Rocks Saloon, attempting the world's largest Bloody Mary on July 4th. And I think if they do it right, they might break two records, because if they could serve over 2,000 sips of that Bloody Mary, I think it'll be the most servings from one Bloody Mary. Why not? Just rack up all the records that you can. And thank you so much, not only to my guests, but thank you for listening. It makes a difference and it means a lot. And if you want to catch up on Mauricio Ramirez and the Bob Uecker mural, that celebration that happened on Tuesday, remember that if you haven't seen the 10-story Bob Uecker mural yet, you can do it very easily by texting the word mural, M-U-R-A-L. Text mural to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. You text the word mural, we'll send you back a link that shows you not only the finished product, but also the masterpiece in progress. Mural, 855-616-1620. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Stay safe in the weather and in the heat, and have a very happy 4th of July weekend.